Now give the Lord a praise. He's the one we're here for. And we are going to rejoice and be glad. For this is the day that the Lord has made. I make a choice to rejoice. Hallelujah. You may be seated. And you're going with me wherever I go. I got a big back pocket. Good morning. I am so excited to be here. I've known your pastor. I don't know if you've even made this announcement that he serves as one of the executive presbyters over the entire area. So he's one of my right-hand men, and I love Pastor Josh and Amber, and I believe God has even greater things. Well, that's my whole message. If you believe the best part of your life is already done, please leave. But if you have a belief and a hope that God has greater things in store, if you are here today because you believe that Generations Church's future is greater than its past, I want you to shout with me to say, God has something today. We are ready to do something. We are ready to see something. And we are ready to go someplace. I have too much other things I can do than waste my time in a church that doesn't want to go someplace. I have more important things than I can do, because anything's more important than being with religious people who just want to put on a show. But God gave me a word for North Carolina, for the Assemblies of God, and as I revisited it with the adaptations specifically for today, for Generation Church in Wayne County. This message will have three distinct layers. You have to kind of float with me. Number one, it is specifically for you and your family. Before it goes anywhere else, you have to believe that God has something new for you. Yes. Secondly, it has to do with a word for this church, Generation Church in Wayne County. 85% of all churches in America, say that, 85% of all churches in America are plateaued or declining. Two-thirds of all churches in America are having little to no impact on their community. The Bible's very clear. There is one reason Jesus came from heaven to this earth. The Bible says Jesus came for what? To seek and save the lost. That must mean that the church's number one reason for being is to be a station where people come to know Jesus Christ, which is why your pastor is already taking a moment in this service, as is the custom, because we believe that's why we exist. When the church loses that sense, we become nothing more than another service agency. I love service agency. I was a member of Rotary for years. I went up through the ranks. I became the president. I traveled to Argentina. I was a thing in Rotary. Kiwanis, on and on it goes. I believe in service to our community. I believe a church should be a service agency to our community. But more than just helping them, we need to lead them to Jesus Christ, because he's not only the bread of life, he's the only way to the heaven and to God's plan. The third aspect of this message is for our nation. One half of our land is excited because a black man is leaving the office. One half of our nation are uptight because a white man is coming into that office. Our entire nation is sick and tired of being sick and tired of politics. And this one man is sick and tired of race divide still occurring in the church. And it's time for us to understand, as you are already experiencing here, the racial solution to the racial issues of our land is Jesus Christ. It's not Republican, it's not Democrat, it's not Obama, it's not Trump, it's no other person. It only comes through Jesus Christ. And though this has nothing to do with my message, as I was sitting there, I realized, with Friday being Inauguration Day, let me give you this word. The Bible is very clear. God had a hand in President Obama being elected. And God had a hand in President-elect Trump being elected. Now, we may not understand it, and we really may not like it. But God is God. we are not. Get over it. And let's get on board with what God has. I know one thing. I've spent 8 years praying for our President Barack Obama, and I will spend the next whatever time it is praying for our President Donald Trump, because I believe all of them need Jesus Christ and that we need to bring this back. I'm praying for reconciliation. I'm praying for America to be united once again. You see, I believe, whether it's here in our church, whether it's in your local family, in your own family, or it's in our nation, all of us want new territory. None of us are satisfied with where we are. We want new jobs, better promotion, new blessings, something new. We want something better, but most people don't want to go through the change that is required to get to something new. It's still true. If you always do what you've always done, you'll only get what you've always got. And if you want to got something new, you got to do something new. It's a proven scientific fact that change is the most feared thing that humans encounter. Humans resist it with every fiber of their being. Even babies with dirty, stinky diapers resist change. My mind tells me that when I have a 3 grandkids, now the last one, Lincoln, is now 3, and he's up beyond the diapers most of the time. But anyway, you know, you have this sense that when he came by, and I realized, and everybody realized, that the aroma that was filling the house had nothing to do with praise and worship. It had to do with his dirty diaper. And you would think that uncomfortable sense would cause him to say, please change. But no, you, let's change your diaper. No, I like things just the way they are. And it seems like we've never lost that mentality. We like things the way they are. We love stability. We want things to remain, but we want something better in the same process of which we're going. It is impossible to get from where we are to where we're going, to where God wants us to be, without going through a transition. And transition means change. Let me catch that again. It is impossible to get from where you are, where this church is, where this nation is, to where we want to be, where God has for us, into the new territory, unless we are willing to go through the transition and deal with the changes that must come. We need to learn. It's not born within us. I have learned to be content. Why? Because no kid and no adult is content with what they have. They have to have an education process, a learning process, to learn to be content. And we have to learn how to deal with transitions in our life to get from where we are to where we're going. In other words, we're moving forward. And that's what God has a word for you today. As Christians, when things begin to change, to shake, to cause unrest, when things become unfamiliar, we need to realize that God is planning on taking us someplace. He was repositioning us so we can experience all the new things that He has in store. God wants to strategically position you, your family, this church, and I believe this nation once again, that we may be to access things that we can never get in the place we are today. Are you ready for change? Are you ready to take some new territory? God's word, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, read like this. After the death of Moses, say death of Moses, who was the servant of the Lord, the Lord says to Joshua, say Joshua, son of Nun, who is Moses' aide. Catch that relationship. God said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them. Catch those words, we'll come back. About to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot. Can I just say this right now? If I'm going to get every place I set my foot, I want to move my feet. Does that make sense? If he's promising you new territory, and the new territory will be wherever you step, let's start stepping. You can't get new territory standing where you are. As every place you set your foot, I'm going to give you, as I promised Moses, your territory will extend. And he gives a geographical territory. As I was with Moses, so I be... No, verse 5, sorry guys. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people in the land I swore to give their ancestors. Be strong and courageous. I'll stop there. Leave the scripture right there. I'll come back. Somebody needs to hear this. Nobody has ever come to me and said, Rick, be strong and courageous when ease was about to happen. God is not telling Joshua to be strong and courageous. I'm not here to tell you to be strong and courageous. Joshua, it just hit me. Joshua, yeah, but it's okay. Grab it, man. Take it when you can get it. I am not here to tell you to be strong and courageous because life is going to be easy on the other side. It means you had better man up. You had better woman up. You had better get ready, because there's an enemy a-coming. Pastor Josh quoted my absolute favorite verse, the very first part of it. I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. But what's the other part of that verse? The devil's out to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job. That's his only job. He is good at his job. And I'm here to tell you, the devil's going to try to get you today and tomorrow and the next day. I heard one man said, "There's not." I've been accused of saying there's a devil behind every bush. There's not. There's at least two. The devil's out to get us, but he has no power over us, and all he can do is get us to be sidetracked. God now says to Joshua, I'm now saying to you, you better get ready, you better be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. This whole thing is wrapped around, they're about to get what God had already said, but they've lost 40 years wandering in the desert because they weren't ready to step out in faith. God has given you promises and assurances in your life. You know that you go to sleep on it, but you haven't been ready to walk out in faith and moving forward, and because of that, you're wandering today. And until we're ready to get marching, we're never going to see what God has. Be strong and very courageous, verse 7. Wow. Somebody catch it. Very courageous. You won't get what God has for you by being like everybody else. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. Be careful to obey the law you love, the parts of the law that you like. What does all mean in Hebrew and Greek and English and German and every other language? All y'all. 100%. It's time to quit picking and choosing.
Yes, it is.
Preach the whole word. Live the whole word. Lay down your life. Pick up his cross and follow him. America has taught us, and my generation has taught the next generation, and that generation has taught the next generation, that if you really get your act together, life will be easy, and it's a lie from the pit of hell. Everything within us as believers is going against the world system. Spent 20 years in the state of Washington, 15 of them in Seattle, and would go to the Ballard Locks. And in the Ballard Locks, they had to help because they put this in to get the ships going through, and they were destroying the salmon. So they put in the salmon ladders. And because salmon have been born, it's born within them, instinctive, to fight their way back up the streams, back to where they came from, so they could plant a seed for the future generation. This generation sitting there, these generations sitting here have got to understand, we've got to start swimming upstream. Amen. Let me say it this way. Any dead fish can float downstream. Any lukewarm, burnt out believer can float along with the things of this world. But it's going to take somebody different who is strong and very courageous. I've never spent this long reading this passage in my life. Keep the book of the law always on your lips. Speak it. Meditate on it. That means think it. Because when you speak it and you think it, you'll be careful to do everything written in it. Then and only then will you be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Father, today we need your touch. This broken vessel, this cracked pot, this earthen vessel leaks. These human lips are not able to proclaim the propensities and glorious word of God. So I pray, first of all, you will take this humble servant, this fragile man, who deals with all the same things that everyone in this room deals with, and let there be a supernatural, and let the coal from your fire once again touch my lips. And may every ear be able to hear what the Spirit says. We pray and we'll give you praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Stay with me. Number one, when it comes to the changes necessary to take new territory, we must remember God has a plan. Say, God has a plan. As the death of Moses' servant said, Joshua, he said, now Moses, my servant is dead. Get ready to cross the Jordan. He did not say that because he had no idea what was about to happen. He had a God-breathed plan for the Israelites. And he said, I'm now ready to help you move through the plan that I have for you. Before you were ever formed in your mother's womb, before you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye, God knew you. He set apart. He had a plan to prosper you. He has a plan for your life, and unless we understand it's a good plan, it's a great plan, it's a spiritual plan, and it will bring us to places we've never been before, but we have to be ready to step out in faith. God has a plan. I got thinking about this. Do you realize that God has never had an aha moment? You remember some of those? Oh, wow, I never thought of that. God can't say that because it's never happened. He's thought of it all. There's nothing that has ever come your way that God hasn't already known. Now, I get messed up when it comes to this sovereignty of God's stuff. I believe he's sovereign. I've learned that. I signed the papers, Dr. Josh. I believe in the sovereignty of God. But I don't believe that God dictates everything in my life. I believe what it says is God has the power, but listen to me, but my choice trumps God's power. My choice can stop God's plan or put his plan into action. It's called the will of man. I get it all the time. If God is such a loving God, why do bad things happen to good people? How can he allow that to happen? How can he allow this? Here's why. Because the moment he stopped that, he would remove from us the will, and then we would be robots or animals, and then we would be griping to say, well, why can't I make up my own mind? I grew up with my mama picking out my clothes. And I knew one day I was going to be a man and I could pick out my own clothes. Then I got married, and my wife picks out my clothes. There was a few years in between those two. This is my wife's choice this morning. But I could say, today, I'm choosing my own clothes. And she would say, go ahead. And then she would walk behind me and laugh at everybody laughing at my choice. She wouldn't make a big deal about it. She wouldn't try to force me into the clothes I didn't want to. She knows that would be a losing battle. Now, God can't make me do anything He wants to make me do. But that's not His plan. He's looking for a people who are willing to submit to His lordship so that we would say yes to His plan even when it's not the plan that we want. I am convinced today that God has a plan for your personal life, that God has a plan for your family. I'm convinced He has a plan for this church. I'm convinced God did establish America with something special in mind for this world. And until we as a nation, until we as a church, until we as a family, until we as an individual say yes to the plan of God, we will miss the greatness that God has in store for us. Catch this. Take this passage back now. Joshua 1, 40 years earlier. The nation of Israel has just been released from Egypt. You know the story. You are biblically literate. Egypt represents bondage. Some of you will catch this. Egypt represents slavery. The Israelites were slaves. They had lost everything. They had a cruel master. A master who tried to control them and keep them down, who tried to control their children, everything there was to it. 400 years of slavery by the nation chosen by God, for the people chosen by God. If I could say something to my brothers and sisters here of color, I can't begin to understand what you went through, the whole history of what happened. I've done my very best. But I'm here to tell you, if what you went through opens the door for what Israel went through to what they've experienced to be the people of God, you should be shouting. You should be understanding that with great torture, with great pain, with great loss of liberty comes the opportunity for the greatness of experience. The Bible says, he who has been forgiven much, he who has gone through the much, is the one who is able to love the most. I'm not sure when white America will come to their senses. So I'm begging you, help us. Don't give up on us. Don't divide from us. Love us enough to talk to us. Love your pastor enough to say, hey, I know you mean well, but that was a stupid thing you just said. You with me? As long as we're talking, we're moving forward. Israel now has been released from 400 years of bondage. Moses, the whole 10 plagues. Now, they didn't just sneak out of town. Read the story. After the final straw, death of the firstborn, God releases them and says, on the way out of town, the Egyptians threw them every piece of gold and silver, everything good. It was the reward for 400 years of slavery. They were given into it. Now they're marching out toward the promised land, burdened down with the benefits, and they choose to doubt God. And because of that choice of refusing the plan of God, take just enough time. Finish this up sometime, will you? Go deep. They're ready for it. God says, send out 12 spies. They send out 12 of the best. It would be Pastor Josh choosing the 12 leaders of family clans in here, the greatest men and women of faith, and sending them out to the Wayne County, and they would come back and said, wow, it's amazing what's out there. The grapes were so big. It took two men on a pole to carry one cluster of grapes. Now, friends, that's a grape. You can live on that. I love grapes. It's my favorite fruit. You can live on that for, I mean, come on. They came back. All 12 of them said it's a great land. All 12 agreed. It's amazing. Land filled with milk and honey. All that stuff we've heard all of our life. 10 said, but there are giants in the land. 2. Who were they, the two? Joshua and Caleb. said, yes, there are giants in the land, but our God is greater. I got a question for you. Joshua and Caleb, you got that pretty quickly. Who are the 10 negative spies?
Nobody knows their name.
Why doesn't anybody know their name? Because nobody gives a rip about negative people. You want to be forgotten, be negative. You want to be forgotten, have a doomsday thing. But you want to be known for who you are, have a word of faith that says God can do it. I don't care how big the giants are. I don't care what the obstacle is. My God is greater. I'm sick of negative Christian people. Not here, of course. It's back where I pastor. They're all there. So, here we go. That was all free. Every new season demands, every new season brings new challenges that therefore demands that we have a different person or a different anointing for that season. In this case, God had a different man, Joshua, not Moses. In your case, you is who you is. We can't change you physically, but we can change you mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And you begin to think different. And as you think different, you act different. And as you act different, you live different. And when you live different, you be different. It all begins in the mind. I believe there's a new anointing coming to rest on your pastor, therefore on this church, when we close this service moving forward. Hear this, preacher. What got you here won't get you there. Did you catch that? For your own family, men, step it up. What got you here won't get you there. Ladies, lighten up. Lighten up. Put a smile on that face. Be an encourager. Everybody around me is telling me I can't. I need Susan to say, you can. All of my life, I grew up with doomsayers. All I need is one or two people around me. It says, don't listen to them. It took two people. There's a different anointing. Joshua was different than Moses. Moses was a prophet. Joshua was a military. We have this understanding. Joshua anointing was not the anointing for the next season. Moses has got the anointing, got them out, but Joshua is going to get them in. You have to understand God has a better plan, and that means he's in charge. Are you ready for a new anointing? It's more than an emotional moment in church. It's more than just the right decision. It is a new way of doing things that has to come from a new way of believing and expecting God for fresh revelation. Today, God doesn't need us to understand every step of the journey. He just needs us to trust him as we take the next step. Say next step. That's what God has for you. Number two, when it comes to the changes necessary to take new territory, we must remember God has a promise. Verse 3, as I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promise Moses. Catch this. There are family blessings and promises that go from generation to generation. The Bible says there are generation to generation curses and blessings. You see, blessings and promises are multi-generational. Methods are not. What worked for my great-grandma, Grandma Kohlbecker, great-grandma Kohlbecker, the first believer, Pentecostal person in our family who changed the Ross family. That anointing on her life didn't do my daddy any good. He had to get a fresh anointing. And the anointing that my mom and dad had as the preachers and the mentors in my life didn't do me. It wasn't until I got my own anointing that I began to operate in the scriptural plan and the biblical principles and the promises that God had for me. promises continue to flow through. My grandma, Ross, obviously wife of Grandpa Delmer Ross, was beaten on a regular basis. She was the mother of my dad and his seven brothers and sister. And one day, enough was enough. And she grabbed the kids and she left home. As she should have. As she should have. Please don't, then the rest of the party, don't miss that. Nobody, man, woman, child, should be in a place of abuse. No Christian, no word from God will ever tell you that you have to put up with that. However, in this case, having gone in her prayer chamber, God says, if you go back, I will protect you. But more than that, I will take your three firstborn sons and I will put them into full-time ministry. Grandma went back, had the heart-to-heart to Grandpa. He never beat her again. And as a result of her obedience, no ministry in our family up until that point. Three of her kids, my dad, oldest, and the next two brothers. Out of those three families comes a multitude of us in ministry. And out of the next generation comes even more. You see, the promises began not just for the next one, not just for me. God didn't promise Eleanor just that I'm going to take care of you. He said, I'm going to do something for the next generations. Somebody here needs to break the curse and stand up and bring back the promises that God has said. And as we begin to walk and we move, He begins to do things. He has a promise for you. You see, the only thing that hindered Israel was Israel. It blows me away. I read, you know, it's a new year. I hope you do. I have a Bible reading plan. I have a devotional plan. It's the first thing every morning. I do a little bit of the New Testament, a little bit of the Old Testament. And I started with John this year, so I'm doing John in my New Testament, going slowly this time and really going deep. And then I go with Genesis. And Genesis is a progressive revelation of God. And in that whole thing, you see all the story and so many good things, all the nieces and all the names, and it's powerful. But if we're not careful, we will simply allow the word to be a checklist as we read it, and we won't stop to let it be the promises that begin to come to us, and we begin to see this. Here's what I've learned. Every time Israel obeyed God, He blessed them. Every time they disobeyed God, they brought curses on themselves. Let me tell you this. The curse has been broken, but only for those who stay under the blood. The curse is still the curse. Yes. It hasn't stopped. It just stopped for me and believers, right? The world is still under the curse. And every time we remove ourselves from the promises and the blessings of God, we move ourselves back. And that's what Israel did. He's simply saying, friends, get the word, read the word, learn the word, do the word, and watch what begins to happen in your life. We got to believe that God has the promises for us. The promises of God bring us peace today and assurances of blessings tomorrow. Blessings are a result of obedience. Do you catch that? You don't get blessings. I mean, can you imagine? Well, let's face it. One of the problems that's wrong with our next generation, which is always true, the next generation has always been messed up. My daddy thought my generation was messed up. By the way, how many of you remember with me the 70s. No, if you remember it, you weren't there. I mean, but we may have been the most messed up generation in the world. I mean, you want to talk about the flower and the free love. I mean, it was our generation. We may have kept our pants up, but we didn't have it. Well, anyway, that's another whole story. And every generation struggles with the next generation. It's historical. It's because we stop talking to each other. Because if you read the Bible, it says the next generation, you're going to bring life, breathes life into the next generation. But you got to stay connected. So all of this is to say, as we begin to move forward, we understand that obedience today brings blessing tomorrow. I got to move on. Number three, not only does God have a plan and a promise, when it comes to the changes necessary to take new territory, God has the power and provision. Everywhere you set your feet, be strong, courageous. I will be with you wherever you go. Let's talk just for a moment about God's power and provision. It begins with his presence. Remember way back in Exodus 33, Moses tells God, if your presence will not go with us, do not bring us up from here. Moses understood that without the presence of God, matter of fact, he had been trained by this. Go back to the nation of Israel during the 40 years of wandering. Even in the 40 years of wandering, which means in the 40 years of disobedience, God presented his presence. And they saw it because he gave a very clear sign. A pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. And here was a simple instruction. God says, when the pillar moves, move. When the pillar stops, stop. Boy, I don't know, but I almost want to pray, Lord, send the pillar back. I don't know whether I'm supposed to move or stop, but he said, I've done something better. I've sent my Holy Spirit, who does many things, but one of the things is he is our guide. And the Holy Spirit begins. Here's how it goes. If you nurture it, you begin to move down this direction, and all of a sudden that one hair stands up on your neck. You keep going and another, and pretty soon you feel, this is weird. That's what I've learned. When I get to that point, I've learned to back up to right where that hair stood up. And when I get back there, now all of a sudden everything's back to peace. And then I go, and all of a sudden, see, the Bible says, in the peace of God. We talked about it in one of our songs. He's the Prince of Peace. See, in this world, there is no peace. Jesus came to bring peace. Peace on earth, goodwill to all men. A Savior's been born. So when we understand this power, it only happens in the midst of his presence. His presence then brings us strength to do what is right. Strength represents his power. When we have strength and power, we operate in an authority that only comes when we're in his presence. In the years that followed, Joshua was continually facing the enemy. And when he was tempted to be afraid, and we all are, he remembered the words, be strong and courageous. Wherever you go, I will be with you. 40 years after the promise, God finally now is ready to move them in to the promised land. The presence of God is available to us in every circumstance, not because he comes when we call, we've all said that, right? But because he's already there. We have terminologies in church that says something right, but on the very core of it, it's wrong. Have you ever been in a really good church service and someone says afterwards, well, God showed up today. I want to know where he was before. God didn't show up. We simply open up to realize he's been there all along. The Bible says he'll never leave us. He'll never, from the very mountaintops to the pit of hell, he is with us wherever we go. My grandma was wrong. It doesn't matter what I do, how fast I drive, or what sin I do. God sticks right with me because he wants me to know wherever I am, that's a right way and a wrong way, and he's there to help me. Last point was an add-on. I had done this message, and I thought it had it all done. 3 points. Alliteration. Plan. Promise. Power. and thrown in provision. But it's not enough. There's one more piece to this passage that I believe is the key now for the church. The first three are good enough for you as a family. It's good enough for you as an individual, but it's not for this church. Got to go way back to the very beginning. It's in verse 2. Moses, musicians come. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and, now notice the next three words, all these people. Pastor Josh, your job and your calling is not to move into great heights by yourself. Your job, your calling, your responsibility as pastor, shepherd of this church is to lead these people into a new place. All these people. There are some that won't make it. And when that happens, you should be broken over that. But you cannot stay there. You have to move on. There are people that need you. These and more that God will bring. Your job is to get as many people from where we are to where we're supposed to be. You can't do it yourself. And that's where this comes. When I go into struggling churches, it's very obvious that a change has to happen. There's four basic general areas that I've discovered so far. One, it's time for the pastor to leave because he just has lost that anointing for that place. Doesn't make him a bad person. Doesn't make him a sinner. There's an anointing. And at times an anointing lifts. I pastored four churches in my ministry the last 37 years. Each one powerful. The numbers aren't telling the story. There was a presence. Things happened. The community was changed. But toward the end of that ministry, Susan and I knew the anointing was lifting. And if we didn't move in obedience to what God was saying, it would have been easy to stay and drift. It would have been easy to stay and... But he lifted that anointing and placed it on a new position. And when sometimes pastors get lazy or satisfied or whatever the wording is, and they stay when the anointing is left, sometimes my job is to move the pastor on. It's a very hard thing to do. Sometimes I move into churches, and there's a controlling element within the church, a family, a board, who has stopped the church from moving forward. Oftentimes, they also control the dollars. And many pastors have been put under subjection to a controlling board member or person in the church for fear of losing that one. But friends, we cannot. If I need you, I can't lead you. You need to understand, we want everyone to go, but so sometimes I have to remove a board or a person so the church can move forward. Sometimes the whole community has gone to where there's just not enough left to rebuild, and we have to shut that down to be able to rebirth. Just met with a church, and I got to be very careful because I believe God can do everything. I mean, I get that. But in this case, we just felt as we prayed that this church needed to be folded in, very handful of people left, sell the facilities, take that money to plant a new church into a same community and see God do something great. Sometimes there just needs to be a radical revival of spirit. As I've come in this place, and I've been here now for 3 days, walking around and in and out, praying, moving into every corner. I don't feel any controlling spirits. I don't feel that there's a power struggle going on. We have not talked about this at all. I've not asked one question. Oh, I know the history. And here's what I'm telling you, friends. You can either look out this window to that building over there and say, oh, what a failure we are. Or you look out that building and say, God has a plan and a promise, and we're going to fill that thing one more time. You see, it either becomes the albatross or the cross. It either becomes the weight that destroys us or the view in which we look up and see God has great plans in store. I believe I will come here in the future and I'll be over there preaching to a new crowd. I believe it in my heart. I feel it in my spirit. But it's not going to be because Josh preaches better. It's not going to be because they clean. And what an amazing look. It's, friends, I'm thankful for the look. We need new look. We need fresh. I've done it everywhere I go. But fresh looks won't change people's lives. It simply creates an atmosphere in which the presence comes in. It's now time for number four. And all the people. Did I see Amber slide in? Please come here. I'm asking Amber and Pastor Josh. Whoa, that's heavy. To come stand right down front. Susan, to come behind Amber. It all begins with leadership. John Maxwell said in his book, everything rises and falls on leadership. It's a good thought. It's not totally true, but it's basically true. It begins with leadership. You're going to be on this side, I'll go on this side. Okay. So now, I felt this into my spirit. I'm asking if this congregation is ready to go into new territory. Do you believe God has a plan for this church? Do you believe He has a promise for this church? Do you believe He has the power and the provision to provide it? Therefore, I don't want you to clap if you're ready to say, this is our pastor, these are our pastors, this is the couple that God has placed with, and you're ready for a new anointing on them. He's not going to be acting the same way. He has to move into a new anointing to lead you into the new direction. If you're ready to follow this couple, I want you to stand and say, yes, I'm ready. Yes, I'm ready. Yes, we believe that everything has been done and ready to go forward. We can be really spiritual and talk about pruning and friends, it's a bunch of malarkey unless it's true. What this church has gone through was destructive, was painful, and it wasn't all part of God's plan. We got flesh involved. Every revival has a combination of dirt and divinity. Dirt's man, divinity's God. We just need more God, more divinity than dirt. But I do know that what was yesterday doesn't have to affect my tomorrow. So I want us to move beyond worrying about, thinking about, analyzing yesterday. You're now in this facility. You now are who you are. But we will not be who we're going to be. And it begins with this leadership. I promise you, Susan and I will pour into these two. And out of that, not just because of me, but out of what God is doing in their life, He's going to start preaching, leading in new places. I'm here to tell you, we need some of you to step it up, because they cannot do all the jobs they've been doing if they're going to lead us spiritually. Every task they have to do is time that they cannot spend doing what God's called them to do. I've shared with them the 5 basic big rocks that God has called a leader to do. And right now they're doing more than they should. I'm presenting to you, Pastor Josh, your next step has to be leadership development. It has to be pouring into these people who are ready to say, put it on us. Don't just dump it on them. Breathe into them. Lead them. Release them. They won't do it as good as you at first. Maybe they'll do it better than you. I don't know. Eventually it will, but the kingdom will grow in Goldsboro in the same elements that you release ministry to. It's proportional. This church will grow in proportion to the number of you willing to get involved in ministry. Active, releasing Him of ministry. A growing church has to have a great children's ministry. You have the basis. You have to free them up to train you and release them. There has to be a vibrant youth ministry that's going to go on. There has to be a growing of our music worship ministry. These are all pieces that they can help organize and lead, but they cannot do all of those things. You ready? Now you stood. Now, if you're ready to take the next step, every step you take will be yours. By a raising of your hand, you say, Rick, I'm ready to do whatever God's gifted me to do and the pastor releases me to do. Are you ready? Are you ready? Put your hand up. Father, right now, we now extend that hand that is up toward this couple. Everybody extend your hand to this couple. Lord, for Pastor Josh and Amber right now, new anointing. New anointing. There's anointing that is coming that Josh is going to have to begin to, Pastor Josh is going to have to do things that he's not comfortable in. They are very comfortable now in the moving over here. The organization is beautiful. It's amazing. I see the beginnings of the Spirit as I feel when I worship. I have this. But now, Lord, it is the hard work of training and releasing people. It's the delegation. Moses was trying to do too many things. And Jethro, his father-in-law, comes and says these words. You're working hard. You're doing the best you can. But what you are doing is not good. It's time now to release. Pull out men and women who are gifted, who are able, who are willing. And, Lord, begin to transfer that so that you will do what I've called you to do. To be the man and woman of prayer. To be the visionaries. To be the vision casters. To be the proclaimers, spokespeople of the Word of God. And, Lord, as we do this, it all comes through the anointing of all these people. Let there be a revival of volunteerism. Let there be a move of your Spirit of linking together and saying, we can, we will. We're ready to step it up. We're ready to move to a new level. We pray it now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.